everyone. This is Raid Lock Episode 2. We're titling this one Trolls of the Round Table. Why, may you ask? Because we are having a roundtable discussion with some of Talar's top trolls in Talar's top raiding guilds. The main discussion is going to be around raiding in Storm Legion, and we're going to cover several topics, including how Trion will use the supposed hardcore modes in the progression, how that's going to affect the progression race, because we saw that a lot of guilds started using that, you know, as recruitment pitches, you know, world first, world second, world third, whatever. Some of the AoE healing nerfs that are in beta, how that's going to affect progression, because in ID we definitely saw in HK2 where you needed a lot of burst AoE healing to deal with some of the raid damage. And we're also going to try and cover some of the gating mechanics that Trion might use to gate some content in Storm Legion, whether it be, you know, artificial gating through gear progression, or some, you know, hard gating, like just straight up locking parts of a raid. So I want to introduce everyone. My name's of course Intrinsic. I'm in No Quarter, and we have with us Rough Raptors, also known as Dirty Jew. Say hi, Rough Raptors.
Hi, Rough Raptors.
Nice. He can follow instructions like a good boy. We also have four special guests. One, two, three, four. Yeah, four special guests from some of your favorite guilds that provide you with so much entertainment every progression race through drama and overall goofiness. First, we have Nodge from Parabellum. Is that right?
That's right, yep. Nodge.
And what are you doing in Parabellum?
I'm the mage class leader.
Are you an officer?
So, yep, I'm in charge of making sure everyone's doing their job.
And pretty much. What if they don't do their job right? What do you do to them?
Then I tell wrong and he kicks them.
He kicks them, it's that simple, I like that. And we also have Boar from Trinity. I watch some of Boar's streams and I know he's a cleric, so say hi to everyone, Boar, and tell us what you do in Trinity besides tank stuff.
Hello, I'm the cleric class lead in Trinity. So, like Noj, I make decisions for people with blue bars and green names, and do some of the raid organization as well. Part of a team of four, and I tank stuff now because nobody in this game wants to tank anymore. Maybe Ruff can say more about that. But prior to that, I did a lot of healing and some DPS.
Very nice. And we have an infamous Mr. Mustache, Epic Mustache guy, or also known as Kralsberg from Special Olympics. Say hi to everyone, Q-Man.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
Now, what do you do in Special Olympics?
Well, seeing how Storm Legion, we're going to start to stack clerics and rogues. I'm probably going to be the bench warmer. And that's pretty much my job at the moment.
Make that bench nice and warm for your fellow warriors.
Yeah. Well, my mustache keeps me warm every time, so...
I was about to say, I don't think he's going to be very cold with that mustache.
Do you have only one mustache, or do you have another mustache somewhere away where we can't see?
Yeah, it's trimmed and nice down there.
Oh, nice. That's going to keep you warm everywhere. Yes. And our fourth special guest, but not last, is Yobi. I would say his whole name, but I probably fuck it up. So, and he's from Rift Runners. He's the current guild leader. Can you say, you know, hi to everyone and how you came about being guild leader and what do you do there? How do you treat your raiders?
Yeah. Hello, everyone, and thank you, Insane, for inviting me here. I have to say, it's the first time I'm on a live stream. So yay to you. Okay, so I'm the current guild leader. You know, changes happen in guilds, in all guilds, including ours. I've been in this guild for about a year. I've worked hard for this guild. I was previously in Birds to Win, if you remember that guild name.
Of course.
Yeah. I can say that the previous leaders did their job very well, but you know, they had to step down for several reasons. And now I'm doing the guild leading, and I'm also, maybe you can say, the bad cop. I'm the guy who has to tell people the blunt truth. You can ask Valerie if you want.
So you basically, if people fuck up, you tell them, get the fuck out of my guild, I don't want you here.
That might be how it sounds to other people. Well, I'm not that bad, you know. But someone has to deliver the news sometimes. Other than this, yeah, we're friendly. I'm not gonna say, hey, I'm the guy who holds the pro meters and says who's the best, who's the bad, you know, and stuff like that. So yeah.
So instead of rolling with an iron fist, you roll with like a nice soft hug, and then you whisper in their ear that they're gonna get
arrested. You know, ironically, I've broken my hand in the past, so I have a piece of metal in my fist. So yeah, maybe the man with the iron fist.
Nice. All right, so I just want to get a short biography of, I mean, we already got a biography from Yobi, but basically of like how your guys' guilds came about, what you guys accomplished in the past, I guess, really, just really quick, and what you hope to accomplish in Storm Legion. Just top to bottom, not Noge or Nodge first.
Yeah, well, you might know that Parabellum's actually recently been part of a merge with XLR. That's where I came from. So I think previously, Parabellum's been around since the start of the game. It's gone through lots of different sort of stages. It was a PvP guild originally, I think, and then it went casual and semi-hardcore and all different things. At the moment, with the merge, we're sort of going for, you know, the racing for world first thing. Going a bit hardcore, so yeah, it's a bit different for a lot of new, well, old Parabellum members and new ones coming in, but we're sort of trying to shape the guild to be more hardcore at the moment. And we did get one world first in ID, even though most people sort of ruled it out. It was the first, the second hard mode released, so that's all we've really got at the moment. But yeah, we're hoping to improve in Storm Legion and see what we can do.
Very nice. And what about you, Boar? You're next.
Trinity's been around for a good number of years, like since 2006. They played a game called Vanguard, which some people will have flashbacks about because it was an intense game, i.e. intensely bad. But they were a pretty hardcore raiding guild in that game, sort of similar stature to the Trinity in this game. But I've only been in the guild for just over a year now. But Trinity, I think, as far as Storm Legion goes, like, I think they always wanted to be a pretty competitive guild, and in ROS they sort of made that decision that that's what they wanted to do in HK, and then in HK there was, you know, lots of guilds didn't make it through HK, and so they improved their standing, though. They did better in HK than they did in ROS, and then it was really like, I don't know, maybe around the time I joined the guild. Coincidence, I think not. They started to get more hardcore and really push, so they went from, like, you know, I think they killed Achilles after Breaking Bad, so they were behind Breaking Bad's come that, but then they worked pretty hard to go to like 5th HK Conqueror, and then in ID they wanted to do better, and so we had a bunch of top 3 kills going into ID, and then we were in top 4 for Maleforge and Lathys, and then same stature for ID Conk. So, you know, Trinity's just sort of steadily moving up, but I think that's what we want to do in Storm Legion. So we're going to compete for world firsts and see what we can do there, but we expect to be in the top 3. That's our expectation for ourselves anyway.
Yeah, you always got to compete for world first. If not, why even raid, you know? Whether you get it or not, I mean, at least you tried, and you can never be satisfied with getting second or third. You always got to go for first. And Quarlsberg from Special Olympics, what's up, my man? You tell me your story.
Well, my story is that I joined, just before ID progression, pretty much, so I wasn't there for the HK I know that Special Olympics come from some old fucking merge before HK got released. And why we named Special Olympics, really no idea, but I guess it's about that the competition kind of made it a sense that we call ourselves Special Olympics when still can be first. Special Olympics has been like the EU first guild ever since HK. Currently we're second, I would say, seeing how Game Over currently sits on the most dungeon expert speedruns. So
yeah, you can't get that.
What a troll. It's that mustache plus 10 power.
You can't compete with those world first, Quarrel. What do you think you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, Conquer Primal Evil Feast is obviously the it's the newest content and it's the closest world first that has ever been now. So I guess grats to them. But I think we will come back in Storm Meeting and take most of the world first. That's our goal.
That's the bar that we gotta set. Primeval Feast Conquer. So everyone knows.
Yep.
All right. So. That was nice hearing. I never knew some of that story, so I just wanted to hear some of that, and I'm sure some of the listeners, even if they didn't want to, they're a little bit more informed right now. So I'm just going to do some news real quick, and it's not really super lengthy. It's just that they pretty much confirmed that Stone Legion 2.1 is going to have the Regulos raid, and that's going to share a tier with the Crucia raid. It's going to be the same tier, a little bit, I guess, up from Crucia as far as gear requirement is considered. And then Storm Legion 2.2 is supposed to have some kind of story driven event that's going to lead to the opening of a new zone, and I think what is right now Northern Brevane, right up there, is called the Dendrome. And there's a video that I got this info from. And I'll put it in the show notes when I release when I put the podcast up on Podomatic and iTunes, so everyone can see, and put it on the Rift forums. And here comes the topic that we've all been waiting for: Storm Legion raiding, and we're going to try and get to everything that we can. The question I want to start with is: how do you think that this tier of rating is going to improve on everything that we saw in Hammernail and ID? Hammernail having some pretty incredible encounters, including what I think are the two best encounters in the game so far in Rune King Molinar and Achilleos, and ID having some pretty interesting encounters too, like Lathys and some of the other encounters that have a lot of mechanics but weren't exceptionally hard. And I guess I'll just pick someone random. Quarlsberg, you go first. How do you think this tier is going to improve Rift rating overall over HK and ID? And anyone can jump in if you, it's not going to be by, order. You can just jump in if you have just be courteous. Don't interrupt each other.
Well, I mean, if you're talking about the first tier, I guess you're talking about the Crucia raid. I don't think it's going to be that hard once you get the gear. Competing for the world first and everything is going to be hard just because you have to grind the gear, but I guess we'll touch more on that later. Seeing how we haven't really seen anything yet, it's hard to say if it's going to be improved or not, but I'm more like, I want to know more about the hard modes and shit before I can say it's going to be improved. They already said that they're going to make it easier, like pre-Lathys, pretty much. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be like an improvement in raiding, the first tier of raiding. It's just going to be like green scale, right?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going to say. I have a feeling it's going to be a race to, see who can get the most 60s, gear them up the fastest, since it is, I guess, confirmed that you do need the dungeon gear. And then once that happens, the hard modes are really going to be what interests people in terms of, like, difficulty and who did what first, just because, yeah.
That's basically the situation that the other MMO that is currently an active rating MMO is in now anyway. So initial dungeon releases are just, you get through them, and then some specified time after that, hard modes for every encounter unlock. So it's sort of seen, I think, as a pretty level playing field, because everybody gets a chance to put in time to get ready for it. You get to see a portion of the mechanics. Not all the mechanics are obviously the same in regular and hard mode. And then everybody gets unlocked at the same time on the resets with, you know, whatever hours difference for EU and US. And then everybody has a race. And so I can see this being very similar. Because I would agree that I'm willing to bet that this is not going to be the most difficult dungeon ever. And so when you start to see like first kills across all shards, you know, 10 kills within an hour of each other, it's basically an indication that the raid got rolled. So I expect something like that to happen in the first dungeon or first raid.
Now, do you think that this is like the future of Rift Raiding? Like they're just going to have normal modes to get everyone, you know, especially with a new expansion or something, they're just going to have everyone get settled, you know, nice and slow into the new gear, the new specs, the new way of playing your character. And then later tiers are going to try and push that edge a little bit further.
But I'll finish that or answer that, I suppose. My guess is that, you know, this one is easier just because they're probably getting so many returning players. They want to make it a little bit more player friendly to the new people, so they don't have to learn quite as much. I mean, the gear reset is obviously a big factor in that. Maybe, you know, later on they'll make it harder, as in like HK when it was released, you know, maybe towards the end of ID, since the beginning of ID was pretty easy. Yeah, I mean, the difficulty could change, it could not change, and they could just make the hard modes really fucking hard. At the moment, it's pretty much all up to speculation, because no one really knows what, but them.
I remember, actually, that developer Decoy said they were intending to do this raid not more difficult or the same as difficult as ID, because they wanted to attract more players in Rift. So I think it will be more of a gear check. It will be more of hey guys, just make your guilds, you know, take a raid, go in, kill some bosses, have some fun, learn more about raiding, more about Rift, because it's a big challenge for them. You have to remember, they have lost subs, and let's be honest about it, and they want to get the subs back, and some of the subs will come from new players, and some of the new players will not have previous raiding experience. So previously they would release some content. It would be quite hard for the beginner, and many people would QQ, and over time they would just dump down the content. So it becomes more and more accessible to people. I think now they're changing this strategy, and they're going to have the normal modes just for everyone, and then they're going to give you the hard modes for those who need this something extra, who want to compete on a higher level. I just don't know how Tryon will keep this up. Because, you know, there's always going to be those people on forums who are going to say, hey, you know, I want the relic armor, so why do I have to do this freaking hard hard mode to get that item that I combine with my epic armor? It gives me the relic armor. So we will see how Tryon will handle this, and if they're going to dump down the hard modes after a while, or they're always gonna keep them at that level. Personally, I think it will sort of be like it is now. They will make the hard modes easier and easier, especially if that includes achievements, because some people playing for achievements, so they want to have the hard mode achievements as well. Just a guess, though.
Yeah, I think you go.
Alright, I was going to say a point with hard modes as well. If they do release them, I think a point for especially us in this channel is how they release them, and if they release them all at once or individually, and how, you know, us as guilds sort of rank hard mode guilds. Because one thing we've got to bring into is, of course, the time difference of release. You know, if they bring it out in the US first, obviously guilds like Trinity and No Quarter are going to have you know, an extra 12 hours or something on the hard mode bus. So we've got to bring time difference into it. If they release them individually and they release them at the same time, you know, how are we going to rank them? Is it, you know, if they bring out a Krusha hard mode, is that good? And the guild kills it, are they back on top? You know, if say there's no quarter, get Krusha world first. And then Special Olympics get Krusha hard mode world first. Who's number one?
And how do you I'd probably say that? Special Olympics.
Yeah, that's what I'd say. But
yeah, I think that they're, whoever tracks some kind of ranking in Storm Legion, we're going to have to put a special extra value to the hard mode kills because they are going to be harder to kill. It doesn't matter.
It depends what they do with the hard modes, though. I mean, what if they just utterly fuck up a boss? You know, something was missed during testing. I know, I'm sure they're probably learning from their mistakes, being more thorough. But, you know, what if they miss something and, you know, every week they're just like, you know, Macklemose all over again. Oh, this mechanic doesn't work. Let's just fucking remove it and add it in 3 weeks later and call it hard mode. I mean, that's a possibility.
I just hope that they learn from the hard mode. Like the hard mode, Macklemose, how it was, it's basically the original Macklemose that they wanted to do. There's not really anything hard about it. I hope that the hard modes are true hard modes, not some bullshit recycled content.
Well, that was how the fight was originally supposed to be. They just fucked it up so bad. Yeah. They just removed the whole mechanic and just tossed it in a month later and called it hard mode, which isn't hard mode. It's intended mode.
Intended mode. That's going to be the new tier, guys. Intended mode.
But there's no real downside to hard modes at all. I mean, like, it's a win for everybody. Because, like, in order to have a healthy raiding community, i.e. enough raiders that top men guilds can recruit as people do whatever, move on with their lives, whatever. And, like, you know, you need that tier of raiding below that. Like, you know, like Yobi said, you know, raiding on training wheels or something. That, you know, prepares people or at least gives them a chance to try something that they might want to put more effort into. And if there is a normal, like if there's a gradient in the difficulty of raids, there will be a gradient in the player base, which means more subs, which means more money for development. And for, you know, higher end guilds that just want the challenge, it's perfect because devs can spend less development time on a boss that's already existing and making it, you know, finding ways to make it intentionally difficult. So, you know, to avoid intended mode, to make it intentionally difficult. And then, you know, hardcore players get their competition grounds and, you know, there's no, you know, QQing over, you know, testing or what access people had because everyone gets the normal mode access. And then hard modes come out and people get a platform actually to compete on. And then, like you guys pointed out, I mean, then ranking becomes much easier. It's like, you know, you just have a ranking based on hard modes and nothing else.
Yeah.
I mean, if they intend to keep the difficulty in line with what they've said, I expect not many people are going to care about normal modes, especially the first raid. Maybe Regulus might matter a bit more because that'll be once people have already settled into level 60, but I definitely just think that the first tier Krusha is just going to be kind of fucked.
I mean, we don't care about it, but other people might. I mean, that's the point, too, is like, I'd be fine with devs spending time on something that, you know, 80% of the population cares about if that enables me to have a well supplied and both in, you know, recruiting players and development time supplied hard modes. I'd definitely be fine with that.
Yeah, because the people experiencing raiding period right now in Rift is way too small. I mean, that one guy that made that thread on the Rift forums about the guilds that had killed Melforge, if we go by the theoretical numbers, you're looking at less than a half of the half percent of the population actually killed Melforge. That's depressingly low. And
well, the thing to add in though is, isn't that actually fairly normal as a statistic for the last boss of an instance?
That's normal for very hard bosses. That's normal for very very hard bosses in relation to its population. Because
you can,
I remember
Lathys, the cock block before that though. The bad guilds still can't get past Lathys if you haven't noticed.
Yeah,
it's Lathys.
Yeah, but you also have to think from Tryon's perspective that they've put so much work into developing some content, and they do want everyone to have at least a glance from it. You know, they don't want to have like 95% of the total player base never see Melforge, never experience this fight. I know that maybe for, you know, players of hardcore guilds and whatever, they don't really care if someone doesn't see content. But you can see it's not only about subs, in my opinion. It's also about Tryon wanted to create that thing they're always talking about, immersion. They want people to have a reason to come back. They want people to see all the content. So they say, look, the lore tells me about Melfords. I saw Melfords, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's what's interesting too about like the nerfs they roll out. I mean, most of the complaints about nerfs come from guilds that are on the cusp of killing a boss. Most people that have had those bosses dead for a while really don't care. And I mean, I think that's like a necessary step. They obviously have to do that. And it's just as long as they balance that with the understanding that, you know, for hard modes and things like that and raid releases in the beginning, it's equally important to make sure that there's like a gradient and skill required to beat the boss so that guilds can separate themselves by success or failure on that, on those bosses.
Yeah, I mean, and the point I was trying to make before is that in relation to the population in that other MMO that has a good raiding population, you're talking about the hardest of the hardest bosses get, you know, like 10%, not even 10%, but I would say about 5% of the population gets to kill that boss. And I'm talking recently hard mode Ragnaros, where like 1% of the population killed the boss when he was really hard before any of those, you know, global buffs, like those damage buffs and you know, the buffs that they do to the whole raid, like it's 5% 1 week, 10% the next week, 15% the following week. After those, you know, people started killing them more, but the original Ragnaros, it was 1%. And that fight was way harder than Melforge, way harder than Achilleos, you know, after all the significant wave nerfs and everything. So you're talking, they're doing something right there, and I hope that they move forward and make it more accessible. And making normal modes and not having two separate tiers, but having two separate distinctions of difficulty would move that forward.
Yeah, I think it's just the same thing that every MMO goes after, trying to keep everyone happy. And if they can find a way to do it, then it's great.
Yeah, well, you know, they've been trying to do that forever, you know, trying to balance these incredibly complex souls against PvP and PvE. I mean, they're getting closer and closer. I gotta give them props for that, but I remember a time when people were just quitting like every week because like one little thing got nerfed and they couldn't be OP anymore, or this got nerfed or that got nerfed. I mean, they're getting closer to that, but I don't think they'll truly ever find the right balance, especially with the soul system, unless you want to see Rift go like the way of the panda with you get to pick five fucking skills, you know, the whole way to level 90. I don't think anyone wants to see that.
Nope.
And what about...
Even there can be balance with Atreus developing the warrior. Oops, I said it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like, I posted a picture, like, the warriors are, like, up and down, up and down, up and down. I just, like, there was a point in time where I was making a new spec like every other day. It's ridiculous.
I mean, well, tank, we have one spec.
I won Rise and Waterfall back. We had that spec for like 6-7 months. Never changed.
So, Carlsberg, what do you think? People in chat are bitching that you're not saying anything.
Well, about hard modes and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the only thing I can see how they would make it fair to everyone when they release hard modes is that they release a hard mode to every encounter in that dungeon at the same time, and you have to kill it in that specific order. And they need to be obviously hard for them to be called hard modes. I mean, Conclave hard mode. It was the easiest way to do it.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah. What do you, kind of on topic, but moving on to another one, what do you guys think hard mode should drop? Do you think it should be like a sliver? It's just another RNG piece of shit way to do things. The hard mode, you know, drops a token to upgrade something. You know, like, what do you intend or expect for the hard modes to actually give you?
I can tell you what Tryon actually has made it, because it's up on the beta, and they actually showed it. It's relic upgrades, so your relic armor will be upgraded through hard modes and killing Crucia and Regulus. It says it on the mark. That's the actual thing it's going to drop.
Are we sure that it doesn't drop items as well, though?
Well,
like more than one drop, I guess. That's what I'm curious about.
Well, I don't think they've killed like any hard modes.
I don't. I don't know. I mean, I don't think they can even say that. So
yeah.
I you know what I always wanted for hard modes to drop? I wanted them to drop things that make your armor look different than regular mode armor. That was one big thing when I was raiding in WoW, was that when you got the armor for the hard when you got the armor from raiding it, you look different than the regular people, and that was a way to distinguish yourself. And let's not lie, everyone raids partly for the gear. You all want to become more powerful, and that's something I personally wanted. I mean, it's not the right thing, but it's just something I wanted.
All you need is a rainbow.
It's actually crazy. Sorry. It's actually... Okay, go on.
Okay, that's the best thing they did, is that you can now wear cloth and leather even if you're war, so, in wardrobes.
Oops. What were you going to say?
Yeah, it's a good idea, the one you just said. Probably they're also going to do those things many people expect, like... add something for dimensions, maybe guild dimensions, I don't know. So many things they can you can bring on the table, but we're gonna see. I think no one really cares about what those bosses are gonna drop. Most people just wanna kill the hard mode, get the achievement, you know.
Yeah, but it's a good idea to have something that drops from those that you can differentiate yourself from the rest of the population. Because, I mean, we're in hardcore raiding guilds. We have somewhat of egos compared to the other raiders, to the regular raiders. You just want that extra thing. I mean, you don't get gear and stand on top of the steps at Sanctum. Granted, Rough Raptors has the biggest ego of any raider I've ever met. But I know there's other people in other servers and other guilds that do that kind of stuff. And if you're defeating a more powerful opponent, you... want to get a better reward, obviously. That's just without saying. And the relic armor is a good way, but there should be something else, and I guess we'll find out when we get there.
As long as it's not... I mean, I guess they fixed that a little bit with the combat changes, but I mean, our personal gripe and ID was just like, you know, back when weapons were determination of your overall raid DPS for rogues and mages, I mean, you basically got fucked if you didn't get the right drops, so it'd be nice if they figured out a way to get around that. I mean, the combat system changes somewhat alleviate that stress or whatever, but it is, you don't want it to be that RNG kind of thing. Because, like, let's say, you know, Parabellum kills, you know, 5 hard modes before everybody else, and then, but the drops from hard modes from other guilds are much better than Parabellum drops, and then they gain an advantage in the remaining hard modes. Like, that would be pretty unfair.
Yeah, that's one reason, you know, why I'm really hoping they might readjust their loot system, you know. Just for an example, I think we've killed Mailforge 23 times now. This week was the first time we ever got a shield. Our first warrior relic item ever.
Deadly Omen got it before us.
I mean, just drop a token. Let people turn the fucking token in. But knowing them, they're just going to make the token a random drop. So, I don't know. That's my advice.
That's the only way they could fight that predictiveness. Because... I mean, granted, it's going to take you 20 weeks to get 20 people geared up with the perfect, you know, relic from the last boss, but you also raid because there's a chance that the thing you want might drop, and there's a chance it might not, so you come back next week, right?
Yeah, it's the same shit, though, like with the charred helmet and stuff. Like, how many charred helmets have we got? Like, 5?
Yeah, like, and we got, like, one mage shoulder from Rusula.
Yeah, and we have, like, 40 shoulders, like charred shoulders, just on Stein.
Yeah. Just joining us right now because one of our other talkers didn't show up, and this is an officer from No Quarter. He can speak to, like, more of the history of No Quarter. Foon. He just came.
Hey guys.
In. So yeah, we were just talking about the hard modes in Storm Legion and how just different things about it. I guess you'll pick up.
Yeah, I'm trying to catch up.
And how do you guys think that these AoE healing nerfs are going to affect raiding in SL? What I think is that it's going to make it easier and more predictable. Obviously, like, you can use your big mana consuming spell for if you're running behind on AoE healing, or you know, use the smaller consuming spells to keep up with the slight rate damage. Like, I didn't do anything crazy on beta, but that one dungeon, the Exodus of the Storm Queen, the raid damage got nerfed a lot on the last boss.
And yeah,
I was just gonna say that, yeah, it got nerfed a lot, and it's anyone could, like, any, like, a bard solo healed it, for example, which is stupid. Like, a bard should not be able to solo heal a level 52 dungeon when I'm level 50.
Yeah, well, if you level up in the beta and go to all the different dungeons, you can literally do, like, a whole dungeon without ever casting an AoE heal. So if they, like, have the same sort of thing in a raid, then we'll see how much AoE healing there actually is in raids, I suppose.
Yeah, like, I have no idea what their point is. Like, what is the point? Like, it's making it... I don't get it. I just don't get it. And granted, I don't play
Cleric,
but... Are
they trying to get rid of mechanics like subjugation or something? I mean, I don't really know the history behind these healing nerfs. I logged on to beta day one, did Exodus of the Storm Queen, said this is a waste of time, and logged off and uninstalled beta. So I really don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
Well, the first time I did it, the last boss was that AoE... That AoE damage he cast was pretty intense.
It hit hard, but I did it in a pug, so that's all I have to say.
Well, do you have any did you have any level 60 healers?
Nope, we were all level 50. I don't even think we had anyone above 51.
Yeah, that point I think it was hitting me for like 2,500 ish, and then this past week it was hitting me for 1,500 ish, which is a huge nerf. I mean, a bard solo healed it. That's I know they're trying to make stuff easier, but...
Well, I mean, I think the devs just said in an interview at the end of ID that they never really felt like they can create an encounter where AoE raid damage was significantly dangerous for the raid. And I think this is sort of their answer to that, right? So they got rid of DOL very quickly, early on in beta. So, like, the first beta that everybody went into, there was 700 posts about Death of Centaur and blah, blah, blah. You can never AoE heal anymore. There's no spam healing. But, you know, obviously, it really, like, from a game design standpoint, it's not important what your AoE heal hits for, right? It just is, you know, what HPS does that put out relative to incoming raid DPS AoE? And I think they found that, you know, they thought they would just nerf it and everything would be fine, but they found that it's almost impossible to deal with, you know, live levels of AoE damage with the AoE healing they have in beta. So then they're like, well, I guess we have to nerf the incoming AoE damage as well. And so they just found a new balance that happens to be very low compared to player health. Like you said, you know, at level 60, you have, you know, over 10,000 health, and you're getting hit for 2K on AoE, so you do not need to be healed through that. Yeah. So I think that was somewhat of a mistake on their part.
Yeah.
And going back to, like, how AoE healing works in raids and parties and everything, I can tell you that in the expert we've done on level 60, it's not that easy, especially now that AoE nerfs, and there are mechanics that damage the raid. Mostly it's tank damage that's hard, but there's still some AoEs that one healer has to heal up, which obviously makes the tank die if he heals it. So some of the fights you actually have to have a bard or another support healer to actually make at the moment, and that's actually when outgearing it. So it's not going to be easy, but the expert dungeons are much shorter now.
I think they're trying to find a balance between the shielding changes. So basically, I think they want to have half of the healing being replaced by shielding. To avoid having the AoE healers healing being sufficient to heal the main tanks. Because I don't know if you guys have noticed, but you can actually bring two AoE Chloros on Hartman Maklamos, and they can heal the tank without any help. Just two AoE healers, just two AoE Chloros. That's like...
Yeah, I didn't know that, but that's kind of OP.
We haven't done Hard Mode in quite a while.
Yeah, we're just in there trying to get everything done as fast as possible, because we don't care right now.
I think the changes though will just help you figure out which raiders in your raid are bad at standing and stuff. Because I mean, I'm sure they'll move to that sort of mechanic. It's like that a little bit in the experts. There's some unavoidable damage, but a lot of it, the AoE damage is avoidable if you move and do intelligent things. So that can be good or bad. I mean, it's good for us because that's challenging. It's bad for general pugs because that will not happen. So we'll see what happens in total.
Now that, yeah, that's a good point because yeah, I didn't think about that. Nerf AoE damage from the boss, but make the mechanics make up for the added nerf that you just brought down, and that could be really good if they actually implement it that way, because that would make for more aware raiders, and you could separate the shitty ones from the good ones very, very quick.
Well, it's like Carlsberg said, I mean, the level 60 experts don't mess around. Like, they are definitely far more difficult than any of the experts on life, and they have shades of experts at the beginning of this game, if anyone
really
remembers
that's
that.
That's exciting.
So, I mean, it's not like, you know, it's, oh my god, 10 hours to clear kind of thing, but, you know, it's challenging, which is good, and I think that the AoE nerfs will surprise people and, you know, make them play a little bit more actively than they were before. So like Yobi was saying, you know, you can usually just chloro spam your way through things, and that's, you know, more of a challenge in these experts. So hopefully that continues.
Yeah, I mean, experts pretty much could use a cleric tank to heal the raid before and just use some cooldowns to heal yourself. Wasn't really that hard. You can even do master modes with a cabbie card and like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure that eventually we'll get to the point where we're going into these dungeons, you know, overgeared as hell, you know, roided out, and we'll be able to do that again, but I'm kind of glad that we won't be able to do that at level 60 for the experts.
Yeah. Let's just hope that too many people don't bitch and go, wah, Treon, this is too fucking hard because I don't have, you know, full relic gear and people to carry me through it, you know. And then they just nerf it. Like
people were doing
did.
That for the regular T2s back before they nerfed them, but they were going to nerf them anyways. And people, they did not buckle under the pressure too soon. Like, they did it at the exact time where they needed to nerf T2s. Because I remember people bitching about it, like, literally the first time they went into it. And I mean, it took them quite a while before they, you know, they brought the hammer down, but they're going to do that too. Right? Don't kid yourself. They're going to nerf stuff. Like, that's just how it goes.
But their nerf schedule and ID was really good, though. I mean, I don't know, maybe you guys disagree, but, like, the nerf timing on ID was pretty good.
And, you know, I was in two guilds before I came to No Quarter that ended up breaking up, and I can tell you right now that encounters being too hard did not go into account when these guilds broke up at all. It had nothing to do with encounter difficulty. So I think it was pretty good. I mean, they left Lathys pretty much untouched for quite a while, which I was pretty happy about.
I think everyone in every guild in this podcast right killed Lathys after the only nerf, which was the sort of semi-impossible at the time 9 minutes achievement, right? Yeah, or 9 minute enrage, right? So, I mean, the killable nerf goes down, and then maybe 7 guilds kill it, and then that gets nerfed, and then, you know, it gets open to the wider raiding population. So if you have a small number of guilds that kill it with the first nerf, and then, you know, double that number, kill it with the second, and so on and so forth, then I think you're on a good schedule.
Yeah, you really saw some guilds that were, you know, the good guilds and the bad guilds come out. And, I mean, you saw even some new guilds that I'd never heard about before, you know, be up there, top 20, top 30. I'm just, the only thing that disappointed me in ID was how anticlimactic Millforge was. It's a long fight, but it was never really a challenge.
It wasn't even really that long when you compare it to Achilleos, only half the duration.
Yeah.
Achilleos is just demoralizing, though. A 19-minute fight, basically, and if you wipe in minute 17, like, that, well, that's punishing, I mean, beyond.
that's what happened to Breaking Bad's, you know, we got a 2% wipe and then couldn't raid for 4 more days and lost 3 ranks because of it, and because it was such a long fight. So I think they're trying to, you know, avoid 20-minute fights, which is not a bad idea on their part. I can't really disagree with that.
Yeah.
You know, 5 attempts and then, oh, raid's over, guys. You know, it is not a very good boss.
Yeah. Now, I don't know, like Trinity or Esso, have you guys actually done the 10 man that was open and that was an open beta this past?
Yeah, I've done it.
What do you guys think about it?
How many mustaches out of 5 do you give it?
I give it a 4. It was kind of, some of the bosses in there was kind of fun. I mean, it's definitely harder than most of the other 10-mans I've done before, but that could be because it was kind of new and I found Primeval Feast was really easy. Didn't really do the Guild of Prophecy and Round Halls when they were like released, so don't know. But yeah, it was a decent.
I mean, I would definitely agree. Like, I would say that it difficulty wise, you know, it's not going to be super hard, but mechanics wise and the way they've laid things out, like I think the 10 of us that did it when we killed it basically said that was some of the, like the last two bosses were some of the most fun we've had in this game in quite some time. So I mean, it was relatively easy to understand, but just the implementation of the mechanics was just fun to play, and I think that's something a lot of people enjoy. So it's like by far and away the best 10 man in the game right now. Well, in the open beta game. And I think it'll be somewhat pug friendly after a while, but I think people will really like it.
Now, what kind of bosses were in there? Because I didn't have a chance to go in there, but.
Well, did they do a live stream of this 10 man? Or I mean, it was accessible in open beta, right? If you zoned in.
Yeah, I mean, it was in the email. That's how I know it was open. But I don't know.
It was accessible, so yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's 4 bosses in there, and some you've seen before and some you haven't. So Jul'tharin is in there, Cyril is in there, and then I'm not a big lore junkie, so like maybe I'll get a bunch of like Fayblight hate tells right now, but I don't think we know much about the first boss and the last boss. I don't know. I don't really read the lore. I click those quests quickly and just try and collect loot.
First boss was Jul'tharin?
No, Jul'tharin is the 3rd boss.
Oh, okay. Because I was gonna say, isn't he the guy talking to like the final boss or like Jorn?
Yeah, he's in Charmer's Caldera.
He's in Charmer. And then Cyril is in there, and you fight them. And I think some of the mechanics are pretty new. I think it's a good training wheels. Right? And I think there are a couple new things that so they implemented a couple new mechanics. Like, I'm not going to give spoiler alerts for guilds that want to figure it out for themselves. But the thing I like about it is it's a good demonstration of some of the mechanics that Tryon has in their locker now and can implement in new ways moving forward. And it's like, you know, the fights are pretty dynamic. There's movement in a good bit of them. And, you know, it's not all tank and sink. There's some of that, but it's I think people like those new mechanics.
This isn't a bad time to say that since you brought up mechanics. I asked for questions earlier and I got one good one. Morcius asked, what are some mechanics you guys would never want to see again? And then I thought in to add in what were some of your favorite mechanics that you wouldn't really mind for them to, you know, bring back in if you think that's, you know, might make a decent discussion since, you know, we've already gone over most of the topics.
Well, you know, there's going to be at least one fight with waves. Like, that's Tryon's favorite mechanic. There's going to be at least one fight with waves, electricity
no,
waves.
No, they're going to be Krusha tornadoes.
Krusha tornadoes and waves, yep. That's a given, like. You can already write up a guide about Krusha.
Any feedback, input?
I'd say. I don't want to see feedback as a mage.
Oh, feedback, drives me mad.
I don't want to see any mechanics that you got to stop DPS on the boss. Like,
well, yeah. Talking about the waves, I mean, you mentioned Jul'tharin, and we can basically, you know, bring it out of CC and say that there is the same mechanics. I mean, they did it with Conclave. It's basically the same mechanics, just increased for raid difficulty. That there are a style of waves where there is a linear path coming towards you. And it's basically just rewashed mechanics, just increased for difficulty of raids, 10-mans, and 20s. I found them. We did get a 10-man group in there for the open beta weekend because we don't have that many testers. And I found that most of the mechanics in the 10-man were broken, and I don't think it's totally fixed. I don't know if they're broken or if it's just really easy. But I think when RTP was released, that Sil'jin had a check that most guilds wouldn't beat. I didn't see anything in this 10-man that would even resemble that.
I think the release timing is different though, right? Because ROTP came out post-Hammernail, so it was intended to be more difficult than that. So I think this one with the release, I would definitely agree that it is not going to be very difficult for people. At least with Jolthurn mechanics and things like that, at least you can interact with it now rather than it just be a passive thing you have to get out of the way of. So I think that is something that they should take into account. Like, you can choose to interact with certain mechanics and they're not just passive things that you either have to avoid or spam heal through or whatever. At least I'd rather have that than, yeah, some sort of passive mechanic. I want to get rid of a tank health debuff stacking things, like, you lose 10% of your health or whatever, because to me that's just a really lazy way to up the DPS requirement for the raid, right? You have to have two tanks because one eventually will die and there's nothing you can do about it. That seems like a very lazy mechanic to me.
Yeah, I know tank swaps are a pretty essential mechanic, but I'm just getting sick of tank swaps. They're so simple. Make it something special. I mean, they attempted to do that, I guess, with Conclave, tank swap and then jump into the fucking thing that's impossible to jump on if you're a dwarf because you're a fucking midget. I mean, that's still not enough, I don't know.
It's on the right track, though. It.
Yeah, I mean, just give it something else aside from, taunt this every 10 seconds.
Yeah, the 2-0 still had, some fun. Like, tank swap in a way, especially if you do it standing still to max DPS. Obviously, you didn't do that when it got released, but you do it now, and you still have to be on your feet to, do that. But the rest of the, ID was really easy, tank swapping.
I mean, what do you suggest that they do to make tank swapping more interesting? Because you're apparently very interested.
I really don't have that many suggestions. I don't really know what can make a tank swap that interesting, to be honest. I mean, maybe some weird mechanic where you need a tank swap or a boss, might teleport you to a void of some sort and you have to do some sort of a solo mechanic to get out and then tank swap with the other tank before he gets put into the void. Something like that. I don't know. Just an idea.
They just have to put choice into it, like interaction with it. So, I mean, like on Maleforge, you have to tank swap because if you don't, you will die. And it's the same thing with the tank health debuff. But, if you're tanking one boss, like say there's a 2-boss fight, if you're tanking one boss and you get a stacking buff from that boss that gives you increased damage on the other boss, it's advantageous to tank swap because you can do more damage. And for a world first kill, I mean, you're talking, 80,000 damage makes the difference between wiping or not. So at least there's some sort of way to interact with the tank swap that's passive. You get to choose when to do it, and doing so, begets the raid some advantage rather than just you have to do this or you're gonna die. So I think I'd rather see things like that.
Yeah, I would really like it. Like if you had a stacking debuff on you that gave a buff to the raid, the more debuffs you had on the tank, the more DPS the raid could do. So it's more like, how much can this guy handle?
That'd be pretty cool, actually.
Again, you get a choice for it, right? So if you can heal through it, then fine. You can increase your DPS, and it's some balance that your raid gets to choose.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good idea there.
I like that. That'd be an interesting boss.
Adam, are you listening?
Sorry. To be fair, I think they'll start from the classic mechanics, but I have a feeling they'll move towards the click the button mechanics like Rusila or Lethys Phase 3.
It depends on how that's implemented. That could be good or bad. I don't know. Dreadshot, poor implementation. Lethys, poor implementation. I can't really think of anything with the temporary ability bar that had that great of an implementation, to be honest.
I'm sure
they can work in something.
One mechanic that I really, really liked in Hammernail was, call me whatever you want, but keeping the health really tight together between the two mobs in Rune King Molinar when it was, 4%. I don't know if it was less than 4% ever, but keeping that health together within that percentage was really, really entertaining and fun for progression too at the same time. And it pretty difficult.
Yeah, so I obviously have to Like you have to have control over DPS, which you don't really have to have on any other fight. Like your DPS is that much, and you have to balance it between the raids, and you have to make sure that everyone performs in like a balance, quite balanced as well every time.
Yeah, so I like that. I like to see that come back, and I like to see some kind of mind decay ish mechanic, preferably combined with something else, because mind decay by itself wasn't hard. It was that it could come at a time when the waves might have thrown you off or something like that. So that was interesting. That was pretty fun. I mean, I played melee, and most of the stacking was in melee, granted, but I thought that was pretty fun, especially when I did the fight as a cleric later on. As far as some stuff that I don't want to see come back, like the stacking for the colors on Maklamos, I thought that was sloppy.
Anything with colors, so we don't have to deal with our colorblind GM.
Yeah, that too. Because you end up having to call, like, you know, every color for him, because he literally cannot see it. And that would, I mean, I'm sure he's not the only one in Rift like that. And, what about, I have another thing on here that I wrote down. I'm not too sure about the gear progression that's going to take place. I did see that there are some, there's a new currency that you get to buy gear, but I did not see if there's some kind of gear that you can get from the dungeons. Like, do you guys have any, like, higher level guys that can speak to that? Like, what kind of gear are we going to be walking into Crucia with? And how do we get it?
Currently, it's... You can only get the marks from doing the dailies, so that's easily balanced. The marks doesn't drop at all from the dungeons, the expert dungeons. So the expert gear you're looking at, or you looked at the beta, you're probably pretty much gonna get the first piece in a week, or after 7 dailies. So the expert gear on the merchant is kind of sloppy, so the thing you have to do is just queue for random dungeon even after you've done the dailies, and just try and get as much drops in the experts. They're quite similar as to the gift that is on the vendor, but it's not going to be easy to gear up for the first Crucia raid, I'll tell you that.
Like, we just skip the first tier though, right? I mean, that's basically what that gearing means, is that set pieces for the first raid. Like, you'll probably see all the bosses in the first raid die with barely half the raid having a 4-piece from the new dungeon, or from the expert dungeon. Which, I mean, that's the point of that, is just like, if you want a hardcore raid, then that expert gear means nothing to you even on launch, because you just, and it doesn't really change what you do, right? If the bosses drop marks, you would grind expert dungeons to get marks, and since the bosses don't drop marks, you have to just grind the dungeons anyway to get the drop. So I could see why they did that, but it's sort of like, here's a bunch of new gear, and if you plan on killing bosses in the first 3.5 to 4 weeks, just don't even worry about it, because you'll get more raid gear than you will expert dungeon gear.
Yeah, and I mean, the expert only drops one purple, so you have to do it a shit of ton.
Wow, one purple? Holy shit.
Yeah.
And I guess so, I mean, from the last boss.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if you can perhaps get random drops. I don't know if the loot tables were actually done when we done most of them like this week, but I think they are.
Yeah, I mean, I've never gotten a purple off of anything but a last boss.
I've only done that one dungeon, and yeah, that's right. That last boss is the only purple that dropped from that whole thing. But there are apparently some pretty good trinkets and stuff in there, some pretty good wands, whatever. I remember our mages just trying to run that back to back to back to get stuff. What do you guys think about gating? Do you think that any of these raids are going to be hard gated, like, you know, straight up having a time that things are going to unlock? Or do you think that they're going to introduce some kind of artificial gating, like you need to be the X amount of toughness above what's required for this raid to do this boss, or some kind of debuff that you need to outgear to actually pull this boss?
I think both the raids are far too small to have any kind of gating, to be honest. I think Adam said there was 4 in Crucia and 5 in Regulus. You can't really gate that. Maybe Regulus, because it's, you know, the next, well, not the next tier, but it's supposed to be a bit harder, but you can't gate 4 or 5 bosses.
Yeah.
I don't see how you can do it.
I mean, gating ID didn't work anyway.
Yeah, no, just fail.
I mean, yeah, Firewing dead first lockouts, Earthwing dead first lockout, Lathys unlocked before people could even kill it. I mean, so, or Maleforge unlocked before people could even get to it, so the gating just straight up didn't work.
Yeah, I don't know what they did. I don't know what their point was, but it definitely didn't work, and I hope to learn from it, because I hated the gating. Like, it killed more guilds than it helped create or save or anything like that. That, you know, came specifically from the gating.
I think hard gating was basically unfinished content.
So that's just put the Mac on those. That wasn't finished.
Yeah, I think they just put the gating there, so we cannot. They buy themselves some time, so they can finish some encounters or at least try to. But it doesn't really work. It was a bad experience. I think if there is going to be gating, it's going to be just based on the gear and, you know, the difficulty. Maybe some of the bosses might be overpowered. I don't know.
Yeah, the first raid doesn't really need any gating because it's just going to be a gear check. Obviously, you're going to have to need better gear for killing Crucia than the first boss. So it's just going to be an artificial gating in that way.
Yeah, I like the idea of... I really, really, really like the idea of having the first raid. I mean, even though I wanted it to be more epic than a gear check, I like the idea of having it just be a gear check and just easing people into this new way of raiding at level 60. Because, granted, it's going to be... People are still not going to know the top specs. You know, you're going to have slackers in every guild. And if everything is... you know, tuned to where it should be, then it should retain quite a bit of people. And maybe those people will tell other people and they'll come to Rift and Raid, because honestly, the content in this game is a lot better than other games as far as PvE is concerned, in my opinion.
I agree. There were 2 questions I saw. One of them I'll save for the very end, and one more. I'm just kind of curious. He asked, how do you guys feel about there only being 4 bosses in the first instance? Like, do you guys feel that that's too little? You know, it might be cleared in 1 or 2 weeks, and then we're going to have nothing to do for a couple months, and it's just going to be really stale again? Or, I mean, how do you think that's going to work? Do you think hard modes are going to eliminate that since there's so little bosses?
Yeah, well, I'd rather have 4 good bosses than have, 8 broken bosses and 8, like, quite easy bosses. Like, I don't understand why you have Warboss Drak, but this is a so simple boss. Maclaw is, like, normal mode, easy as fuck as well. So I'd rather have 4 difficult bosses than have 8 rather easy. Quite hard.
I feel the same way. I'd rather have 4, you know, solid quality bosses. And, I mean, I don't know for sure, but I like to think that there's some mini bosses in there too. And let's not forget that we're going to see the normal modes, and then we're going to have hardcore modes. And before we even complete that, we're going to have the Regulus raid right around the corner.
That's true.
And I think that
they might. Yeah, so I was just going to say that, you know, they might very well release Regulus, you know, maybe a couple weeks after the hard modes are released. I mean, who knows with the timing?
Yeah, and I think that with that schedule. If the only thing that I might be scared about is that Tryon might be polishing this content way too much and not be close enough to finishing the next tier. And that's another thing. I mean, we don't even know what we're going to raid after Regulus. I have no idea. I don't know. Maybe the guys are under NDA. No, but I have zero idea what's going to happen after Regulus. I mean, we're going to have no dragons. No dragons back on Talara at all.
Do you really think we are running out of dragons so quickly? I don't know, but I was actually thinking, like, we're all saying, yes, we're going to kill Regulus and then what? But I was just doing the... I happened to do the Chronicle of River of Souls the other day, and I realized we forgot Zaref that fought with Alspeth. And who knows what's gonna happen? I think lore-wise, he got captured. So at some point, we have to see him. So maybe it's not time for Regulus. Maybe we don't really kill him, but we have more to see. Maybe we kill his avatar, Kain. And then we have to go for something else. I'm not sure, but there's
maybe
a lot in the
show. Maybe Krusha runs away, something like that. I don't know. This topic was kind of covered in the first episode, so we probably, you know, shouldn't go too deep into it, I suppose.
Since they have an Infinity Gate, man. Anything comes through an Infinity Gate.
Yeah, they're basically with planting the seed of the Infinity Gate in the planes. They're planting the seed of this whole other dimension of planets and worlds that we can go to. But the thing that troubles me is that it's Storm Legion. The expansion is supposed to be around Krusha. Why are we killing Krusha, technically, quote unquote, before Regulus?
Maybe it's not Krusha.
Yeah, maybe we don't even kill her, but I mean, that's the same thing people were speculating before ID. Like, oh, well, maybe we don't really kill Lathys. Maybe she comes back in some other form, and we ended up killing her. People didn't want two dragons in one raid tier, but they ended up doing it.
I think I know what they're going to do. This might be a spoiler alert for people who haven't played Borderlands 2, but at the end, I mean, I think they could just Borderlands 2 us, and as soon as you know, beat Borderlands, it shows that there's, you know, X amount of other rooms and this and that. So, I mean, they could just alternate us into different dimensions and just use the Infinity Gate as an endless loophole.
Well, you know, everyone knows that the dragons we kill on this planet are not the dragons that are not, you know, the real dragons, their bodies. It's just, I guess, some kind of ghost of version of the other.
Their avatar, kind of.
Yeah. So, I mean, we might go to the other planes and, I mean, we'll have six more dragons to kill. But then, you know, the Bloodstorm's been on multiple planets. They've destroyed multiple civilizations. And, you know, I'm really curious about the Vigil. I honestly think the Vigil are like some kind of beings that created us for something that we don't know about, and I think we'll end up fighting them at some point, and we'll end up, you know, rebuilding our own civilization by ourselves, not relying on some gods to guide us. Kind of like in WoW when, you know, that we started taking on some of the lieutenants of the Titans, and they were supposed to be the protectors of the planet.
No, I think Bubbles has it perfectly right. Scotty Mom, final boss of Storm Legion.
That actually would be pretty fun, because there's that one quest in Silverwood when you get him like some kind of drink and he turns super huge and he's like kicking
his ass. Sheeping everyone.
Yeah. His ultimate mechanic is sheeping. Mass sheep. That's going to be the Sultan Rage. He sheeps like one person every 5% and you got to beat him before he sheeps the whole raid.
I vote in Zykor, next boss, next dungeon, after Regulus.
Zykor is like the leader of one of the planes.
Yeah, you could have, you know, number one tank EU, then number one DPS EU boss, and then we could do the same thing for US. It'd be perfect.
And then he would, like, summon his mage burger, and, well, is that his other warrior? What's his mage's name?
Yeah, he has like 50,000 characters, man. You can make a whole dungeon full of Zykors. It'd be great.
Zykor's gonna make his own guild.
The only reason I think they won't do this is because they're gonna sue them for racism. You have people killing a black guy, so no.
Zykor. I don't know.
I'm sorry.
What was that Prago black woman in HK?
Matron.
I think,
Matron. Yeah.
Killing a black pregnant woman. I don't know about that though.
With big boobies.
Yeah.
Who had little black kids and we kill them too. Oh my god. Going deeper down the rabbit hole.
Yeah. Well, going back to like what I think they will do next, I would think that Regulus Raid will probably come out in mid-January. That's like my estimate, because they're not going to release any content during Christmas except like a Christmas thingy, a Christmas event.
Yeah.
I think that is their next step. And after that, obviously, I think we're going to have to wait for 4 or 5 months until next content, raid content, Or perhaps there are at least like 10 men in between that, because they like to do that. But I think it's going to take at least 4 or 5 months.
I mean, do you think that next content's going to be hard mode or new dungeon? Because, you know, Decoy or Adam said on a live stream the other day that, you know, if he has a choice between spending time on new content or old content, he wants to spend it on new. But that's sort of in direct contradiction to the hard mode statement.
Yeah, but I don't, I think they have the hard mode encounters kind of ready. They want, they know what they want with it, but they want to make it hard. So it's really like, they don't want to go through all the logs that everyone is like the top end guilds are doing and how much DPS can you pull and so forth, so forth. So they're not going to release.
What I think
they're going to release it when like hard modes are going to be released when they have at least 30 guilds creating that content and they have the logs for that and they like look up what is a hard DPS check, what is a hard like mechanics check, what are these guys dying on and so forth.
Now, do you think that they could design the fight originally as a hard mode and then just see what people would be at with, you know, the full gear from that, from regular mode, and then just bump up the HP, because that's all the DPS would, you know, that's all the DPS could block is a DPS check. You could have the mechanics for a hard mode, tune it, take some mechanics out for a regular mode, and then just bump up the HP and stuff for to account for the new DPS.
Well, I don't know how they're tuning the bosses now, but if you run around and on the beta, you can see that you had have a lot of level 60s running around in like test raid gear, it says. So I think they're trying to tune it like they have that you have raid gear on. So it's obviously gonna be not hard mode, but hard mode when you have blues and greens and gold the first time.
So slightly overtuned, but killable.
Yeah. So it's going to be hard for it's going to be hard for those obviously that goes in there in greens and blues. But those who get there in a month or 2 months, which have like the epic gear, because the step in between those isn't that huge. It's like it's mostly like ID to HK from the expert gear to the actual raid gear. So the first tier is going to be hard just gear wise. You can kill it with the least amount of gear. That's like the hard about it, then they obviously have to make it a hard mode for those round the raid gear.
Yeah. Do you think that this is going to be, I guess, kind of a Hail Mary pass? Do you think that Trion will do something additional to hard modes where they introduce a super, super hard boss that you can only... and I'm just going by the logic of Algalon and WoW. How you could only kill him within a certain amount of time after you killed every boss in his hard mode instance, and you needed like a certain key or something to access him. Do you think that's something that the raid community will be interested in? Like a super, super hard boss you can only access for, let's say, 1 hour after you kill all the bosses in a raid?
It'd be interesting, I'd say that. But I'm not sure the guilds in Rift would really go for that. Obviously, I can't speak for the people, but from experience, I don't know if it'd work.
I mean, obviously, then it becomes quite balanced, because then, well, especially when it got released, if it goes like that, because if you, like, for the US, if they're going to release it like they do patches at the moment, then the US will clear down, you know, Wednesday, and then we'll have the boss only open for 1 hour, and if it don't kill it, then it's the same thing for the Europeans, and they have to wait a week and a week and a week. And you just have to do it. Who kills it the first? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I would personally be interested in something like that. That's just me personally. I don't even know about the whole guild, but I've always wanted to see something like that in Rift.
Just for the chat. Always need more Blood Fever grins
for the chat room. Does anyone have goals for world first, like world first 60 or what? Because I know we're getting a group in No Quarter to grind to level 60 super hard.
You're not going to be White Lady. I claim White Lady World First all quest and level 60 achievements. Fortunes.
World First artifacts.
Dimension exact recreation of Meridian.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be ridiculous. I could see you doing that.
We in SOV is pretty much going to have 20 people going for like fastest level 60. But so I don't think we're going to pick out an individual that we want to like going to get level 60 first because. I think it's easier to get level 60 in a group than it is alone. So it's going to be hard to say that, this guy is going to be level 60 first. But then again, I haven't leveled in like the last XP nerf did it.
You don't have any friends to level with, Q?
No.
He has his mustache, that's funny.
Yeah, his mustache can't hit his macros, though.
Yeah. Alright, well, mustache I'm not really ball. Seeing any questions, so I figured this might be...
Yeah, I'll just, next time I'll just ask for questions on this, on the Rift stream, the thread.
I was just gonna end with, I'll just read it word for word. With all the coming expansion has to offer, how big of a return do you guys expect to see from former players, and do you think the expansion has enough to keep their interest?
We're already seeing, Quan and Barry Snakes and, some other people come back. Like that rogue we picked up, Spectre. He had not played in a while. Bubble's brother came back. I mean, that's four or five people right there just for our guild. And I can't even imagine. I would guess that number would be doubled, or at least the same for other guilds. At least in NA. I don't know about EU, but I think there's enough content in there especially for the people that Tryon is trying to shoot for the most, which is a casual player, and that's the mentions. I mean, I see people spending, and hardcore players alike are spending hours and hours and hours modifying that stuff. I think that's enough content to keep people interested, period, because it's a sandbox environment. You give people the tools and just let them have fun, and then people can have fun with them, with whatever they create.
Yeah, I think if they can get the players back, there's no reason why they can't keep them. It's just, I think Tryon have always had a problem with advertising, particularly in Europe, so I just hope they can get the players back, or new players.
I've already seen people from other MMOs that came here to test Rift when it first came out and left. I've already seen them come back because we have the tool, like the game has the tools now that they were missing back then, which were tools to make them play the game easier, like Instant Adventure and Looking for Group Tool that were missing back then. Now people can just jump in for an hour and play and not have to feel like they're just AFK in Sanctum. You're still going to have those players, but you can't complain that there's not enough content in Storm Legion and for months after that because of the mentions. I wasn't super hype about it, but I went into some of them and I see the potential. And I can tell you right now, that's going to be a huge selling point for Storm Legion.
Well, just look at the number of Twitch streams as well. Like it used to be maybe 3 people were streaming Rift. And now when you go on, there's like 10, 12 people streaming Rift. People are leveling, getting ready for Storm Legion.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. And I think we'll see that like on the Storm Legion release, I'm sure there's going to be, a lot more streams than before. And I think people underestimate like the influence that streaming has to get people to play a game. A lot of people watch streams to see if they want to try a game or check out new content. Mista Pandaria had a huge stream, support kind of thing, and I think Rift will be the same.
Yeah, and I'm gonna scare them off. That's the problem.
Here's 2 more questions. One says, here's a question. If you find a potential exploit that will help you get a world first, will you use it? We report every exploit that we find. I think every guild does that. Will we use it? I don't know. I'll let you know when we find it. And Vindicit asked, what do you think is going to become of all the level 50 content? I think it's going to stay the same. Some stuff might get tuned up for the changes, but I don't think they're going to waste, like Adam said, as far as PvE, he's not going to waste that much time developing, rehashing old content. He's going to spend most of the time getting his team focused on the new content.
There's no reason to go back to it. I mean, like, it's like all those people on the forums that are at level 30 and then an expansion comes out and they're like, why isn't there more content for me at level 30? And it's like, well, there is new content. You're just level to 35 and boom, there it is. And then if you want new content at 35, level to 40. So I see no reason why they should, like, take away or change the content at 50.
The only thing that perhaps will change is make, like, when they have time to make more IAs and shit and one to level 50. That's probably the only thing they're going to do for that content. And obviously going to reuse mechanics from bosses and expert boss dungeon bosses and everything. So, like, there's not really any reason to do it again.
Ironically, there might be some people who are now asking for the old content to be revamped and placed into Storm Legion, but I'm pretty sure if they did that, those people, or at least some of them, would come back and say, oh my god, that's so cheap from Tryon to just revamp old content, you know, and have us play it again.
Yeah. I mean, you see WoW doing it, so, and obviously their game worked out. It still does. But I don't think that Tryon wants to do it. I think they're more lore based than WoW is, in my opinion. I think they're more just, they're gonna go against doing such things like having a Maklamos fight at level 60 again.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to, I think we're gonna shoot for world first is world first penis in dimension. Like
I already claimed that the other day. I'm going to make world first biggest penis. I already said you're the most experienced with small penises. So you can go ahead and make your world first little small dick.
I'm going to make the whole dimension a penis, like the biggest dimension I can find. You got to go to school, so you can't even beat me to that world first.
No, I can't, sadly.
All right, so do we have anything else? Anything you guys want to mention, talk about, shout outs, whatever?
Nothing I can think of unless, you know, someone else has something.
No, not really.
You guys should all watch the Mads and Bads leveling stream. And, of course, all the other streamers here. But you should watch ours first.
Or just watch them all at the same time.
Yeah, well, you gotta get that.
If you want to see all the world first, it's obviously my stream you're going to look at. But like I said, I'm going to be on the bench mostly, so I don't know.
I'll tell you what, Q. I'll put yours as the chat cover on my stream, so they can watch both of them at the same time.
I don't know, Bor. I'm going to be following your group just to be ahead of it, just to troll Trunks. So,
uh-oh.
Yeah.
You gonna make him mad? He doesn't have staff, so you're gonna run around with the staff on the whole time too? just linking it randomly, like every time you cast a spell.
Like, oh, I killed that just a little bit faster than you just because of this staff.
Make him mad.
You gotta go out there, yeah. Every time you cast an elementalist spell, you have to have that linked in general chat.
And then this just after it says, "You mad, bro?" Jelly.
You can't get the mages down, dude. Harbinger. You can't get them down.
All kidding aside, any trolling that I do on the forums personally is mostly just to have fun. I mean, you raid one day a week. It's boring. I raid the forums for trolling.
Yeah, basically. I mean, that's that's the situation. Like, with the way it's gone down, I mean, I think at the end of ID, like, the attitude between a lot of the top guilds was pretty bad, and people were kind of at each other's throats. And I think in Storm Legion, at least I hope anyway, it's not going to be like that. So I think there will be a lot more trolling and the fun expense of each other, which will make Storm Legion much more enjoyable, I think, as we all sit after raiding for 3 hours a week.
Well, we obviously saw the trolling before ID was released, and no one had anything to do. Like,
yep,
no one. And then you just see that the forum is just getting flooded with trolls. So. Remember those voodoo days?
Well, I think that every guild's going to have those trolls that, you know, cannot... They have no idea how to control their feelings, and they'll use the internet forever as a gateway to, you know, let out their frustrations on how daddy smacked them when they were young, and, you know, those little frustrations that will take people over the edge. And I feel bad for them because it's kind of sad, but every guild's going to have them. We can't get rid of that, no matter how hard we want to will it to happen. That's just something we're going to have to deal with. Not everyone's going to behave like human to each other, you know, overnight. But that's part of what makes raiding so exciting. You're going to, you know, if X guild gets a world first, Y guild is going to, they're going to be kind of resentful and be driven to get the world first next. If you didn't have that competition, it wouldn't be half as fun as it is. And, I mean, getting a world first over another guild, I guess, is some kind of trolling. So it's just fun.
I think at this point everyone's keeping their cards closed, and I think most of us look like we would never troll, and we don't deserve the name of the stream, the round table of trolls or what it was, but pretty obviously after the progress is done. As you said, there will always be people who will, you know, talking from a safe place, from a safe spot after they have their progress and bash.
Yeah, it's just that when people take it too far, I mean, that's I don't think anyone's taking it too far, but...
Well, it's fine during progression, right? I mean, that's the point. Like, you want to be competitive. And, like, I mean, I'm sure you're all great raiders, but I want to be first before all of you. So, I mean, like, there's definitely going to be that. But it's like, you know, 5-6 months, like Foon said, we're all raiding for 2.5 to 3 hours a week. And then people are still talking about crap that happened 4.5 months ago, you know? It's just like, what the hell? It's just a waste of time.
To end the podcast, I just want to thank all our special guests for showing up today. And, sorry that Zizix, you couldn't show up. Hope everything's all right. And I want to thank all our listeners, whether you're trolling or not, I don't care. You're part of the podcast, and I just want to thank you for showing up and listening. Next recording is going to be the first recording that's going to take place in Storm Legion. This is the last one of regular Chocolate Rift, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. Like Boar said, he's going to have a 24-hour stream of when Storm Legion launches with you and a few friends.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically going to be everybody, like, everybody in Trinity that shows up, but there's a group of 3 of us to 5 of us that are going to go pretty hardcore. We're not going to do, like, a 60-hour no-stop, but we'll probably stop for a few 4-hour sleep binges and then make it to 60 the whole time. We have, like, giveaways and stuff like that and prizes.
All right, cool, cool. Sounds awesome. I'm probably gonna tune into that too when, you know, I'm taking my little breaks. I'm gonna do one too. It's I'm gonna try and go to 60 until I either die or I hit 60. So that might be the last time some of you see me playing Rift, which would be a case for celebration. I don't know if anyone else is doing anything, but yeah, just go to the Rift forums and I'll post something when I get this edited about the final, you know, the cleaned up version, and I'll post information about the next one and what it's going to be about. But until then, everyone, good luck in Storm Legion. See you guys in 2 weeks.
Thank you.